And that's the invitation of grace to come. Would you like to sit down? And keep your hearts in that open, soft place. Sometimes it's very easy to sing words like, "You are my King, you are my God." It isn't always so easy to turn that into action. And this morning, I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit has softened our hearts, prepared our hearts. And as David comes in a moment to share what God has put upon his heart to share with us this morning, a word that he felt some time ago that he shared with us, that he felt that the Holy Spirit had put on his heart for HCC, I want you to open your hearts and minds to receive that word. I first got to know David and Jenny a little bit when they were in Manchester, in Life Church in Manchester. And then they came up a few years ago to be part of the Durham church plant and served alongside Jeremy and Sue in Durham for a time before, a couple of years ago, now moving across to Tees Valley. Jen, some of you will know because of her involvement with Daniel Challenge. David is part of Neville Wright's prophetic team across Taking Ground, and I've worked alongside David in that context and really appreciate what he carries in his heart for God's people and his sensitivity and alertness to the Holy Spirit. So I want you to receive him as part of our family this morning and what God brings to him.
Morning. I love the male voice choir over here. That was brilliant during the worship just to hear these powerful male voices singing out the stuff. I love women's voices as well, but it was just great to hear these guys. So I really appreciated being part of the worship. And it's Dave. Just to clarify things, I'm Dave. David is if I've been naughty, so. Can we have the, here we go. But seriously, folks, the sword of the Lord. I did think I'd use a prop, but I wasn't sure that a little foam sword would carry the weight of the sword of the Lord, so I won't bother. So I had this prophetic word back when you had a prayer and prophecy night in June. If you weren't there, I was. And I had a word for that night, but didn't feel it was appropriate to share it that night, so I sent it to the elders. They've weighed it and decided that this would be the time to bring it to you. So that's what I'm going to do. But just to put some background to that, we're going to look at a passage in Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Now, you've probably heard messages on this before, maybe many times. I'm not going to do a sort of a thorough teach on it, but I do want to pick out a few points that fit in with what I want to say. And I'm going to chunk it up. So we're not going to read the whole thing. We will eventually, just not all at once. Okay, so we will get there. So, next slide. Oh, yes, I must mention this. On the prayer and prophecy night, I had a word about taking the baton out of my hand, and a few people did on that night. And the picture was that God has the baton for you. There were great things prophesied to the church that night, but it was a case of God's got them, who's going to get them? And there was a sense in which God wanted you as a church to do something, to take the baton out of his hand. It wasn't just a case of sitting in your seats and saying, "More, Lord, more." But actually, there was some action you needed to take. And I believe that this is one of the things that God would have you do, both individually and as a church. So that sort of prefaces everything. And let's get into Matthew. Next slide. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're out. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" Now, the sort of feeling you get there is Peter's being a bit stingy. Up to seven times? Well, okay, so the eighth time, that's it. You're gone. But actually, that's completely the reverse of that, because at that time in those days, the rabbis were saying, if someone sins against you up to three times, then forgive them. So Peter's feeling like, oh, I'm being really big and generous here. You know, I'm getting Jesus' message. Seven times. How about that, Jesus? Aren't I good? So seven in biblical terms as well was sort of the number of completeness. So he's saying, shall I completely forgive? And Jesus says, next verse, next slide. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. 70 times 7 equals infinity. So what Jesus was saying is, well, okay, 7 is the number of completeness, perfection, 10 is the number of completeness, and then there's another 7 as well. So that's completely, wholly, perfectly, completely forgiven. Infinite number of times. In other words, there should be no end to our forgiveness. It's limitless. We need to truly forgive and forget to the point where it actually isn't an issue anymore. Next slide, moving on. The unpayable debt. So then Jesus tells this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. This person, 10,000 bags of gold, I looked it up and it's something like the equivalent of 10,000 lifetimes worth of earnings. So in other words, far more than anybody could ever pay. And this is the debt we have to God. We have messed up so much with our different ways of doing things that we owe God a debt we could never possibly pay. And this servant was in that position. And the next slide is just God's incredible mercy. Verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. And this is just God's incredible mercy. In the face of our honest repentance, he cancels a debt we could never have paid anyway. This is how amazing our God is. And we've been singing about that in the worship, of course. But this servant's been forgiven. And the next thing he does, the unthinkable response. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. He gave the same response to this servant as the servant had given to the master. The master had said, okay, I'll cancel the debt. And this guy says, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. He didn't treat others with the grace and mercy with which he'd been treated. He continued to hold a grudge. In the light of all the forgiveness he'd received, he didn't then extend it to others. Next slide. We sang it in one of the songs, forgive as you were forgiven. We've been forgiven, therefore we can forgive others. Verse 31, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? To the master, it's unthinkable, the servant having been forgiven so much, doesn't then go out and forgive his servant who owed him a few measly coins. It's unthinkable to the master, in this case God, that we should be judgmental and critical of our fellow human beings when we've been guilty of so much, yet have been forgiven everything. Next slide. Hoist on his own petard. Anyone know what that means? It means that you sort of fall by your own actions. You do something that actually trips you up, comes back on you. So verse 34, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. So just as he was graceless and unmerciful, God was graceless and unmerciful with him, or the master was, who represents God. And Jesus says, look, guys, this is how it's going to be with you. If you don't forgive other people, God's not going to find it easy to forgive you. Now, obviously, none of us want that to happen to us, which is why I called it, but seriously, folks, because we need to take this seriously. And now we get to the prophetic word that I had. And in the prophetic word, I think it's important to, preface it with a sort of a disclaimer. I could give this word to any church. I could give this word to any family, any organization, any group of people, because we're all fallen, we all mess up, we all have issues. But it's just that God wants to highlight it to you guys at this time. So it isn't you're better or worse than anyone else, it's just this is like God saying, underline, this is for you at the moment, this is something you need to take hold of now. And this word was, the sword of the Lord is swinging back and forth, hence my little sword, which doesn't really do it justice, does it? If you imagine you're standing like in worship and God comes down and it would not be pleasant. It's that serious. If we stand before the sword of the Lord, we will be harmed. Next slide. So what we need to do is humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to bow, kneel, prostrate ourselves before God so that we won't be caught by the sword of his judgment. And I felt God was specifically saying, this is speaking about unforgiveness. Next slide. And the next one. The thing about unforgiveness is it can hold you back. And if you're going to go forward as a church or as individuals, then you need to resolve the past. Because otherwise it will hold you back like a ball and chain. I don't know, the right-hand picture, I don't know if you recognize that one. Anyone know? Marley's ghost from Christmas Carol. And Marley says, these chains I wear, I forged the links in life by my hard-hearted attitude. And if we have a hard-hearted attitude towards other people, we're forging chains for ourselves. We're chaining ourselves up, carrying baggage that just means we're not able to go forward as we should with God. Joshua chapter 7, I don't know, you might remember the story. In there we read about Achan. Now, the Israelites had gone up and attacked Jericho. The walls had fallen down. They'd gone in. They'd won the battle. Then they went to attack Ai, however you pronounce it, I, Y-I, whatever. They went to attack this other city, a much smaller city, and they were defeated. And Joshua says, why, God? Why? I thought you were with us. And God says, well, it's because of your sin. And Joshua says, what sin? And by a process of elimination, they get down to Achan. Achan had taken some things from Jericho that belonged to God. And because of that, it held the nation back. It ultimately meant that Achan and his family were destroyed. And it's a bit like that with unforgiveness. If we're not careful, our unforgiveness not only will hold us back, but actually will hold the church back. So we need to resolve the past. Next slide. And in Romans 12, we have a passage that talks about not doing things the way the world does. The world likes to hold grudges and shun people because they've done something that upset them. But we are told in Romans 12 to think and to act differently. And it says in verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we hold on to unforgiveness, we're seeking vengeance. But it says here that vengeance belongs to God. So we're holding on to something that doesn't belong to God. And that will end up either destroying us or damaging us or holding us back and could affect other people as well. We've been forgiven everything and have been declared right before God because of Jesus. If we don't forgive, we're like that unmerciful servant. And what we're actually doing is standing in the presence of the Lord and accusing our brother or sister. They did this. They did that. They hurt me. And the trouble is, when you're standing in the presence of the Lord and the sword comes, you get hurt. Holding on to unforgiveness is actually not trusting God. We're not trusting him to do right in the end, to sort the other person out in his own way and at his own time. But the thing is, you could say to me, but I have been badly treated. I have been hurt. I have been rejected. I have been ignored. I have been overlooked. Fair enough. That may be true. I know that's happened to me. I know that other people are certainly capable of doing those things. I know what I'm capable of. But that's not actually the issue here. It isn't about what's happened to us. Because look at Jesus. Next slide. He was mistreated. He was beaten. He was rejected. He was killed. If anyone had the right to cry foul or to demand justice, it was Jesus. Yet he said, forgive them, Father. Just as it's true that he was abused yet forgave, so we need to forgive those who abused us. Just as he forgave you, so you need to forgive others. The real loser is the one who holds on to the unforgiveness. You know, we think, if I don't forgive them, they'll pay. But actually, they might not even know you're not forgiving them. They might be completely unaware of it. The only person who suffers is the person who holds on to the unforgiveness. And the thing here is, we end up weighed down with so much baggage, we can't receive the good stuff that God wants to give us. So as it says in Frozen, next one, let it go. If we humble ourselves before God, then we can forgive others, we can receive forgiveness ourselves, we are free to receive what he's got for us. But if we're standing on our right to justice or to vengeance or to recompense, we're standing right in the way of that sword as it swings through. Forgive freely as you are freely forgiven. Luke 6:37 says, do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In the end, it's all about you, isn't it? Unforgiveness holds you back. Unforgiveness prevents you from receiving all that God has for you. Unforgiveness is baggage that weighs you down, not the other person. And ultimately, unforgiveness is a door that allows the devil to get a foothold in your life. If we truly want to go forward as individuals or as a church, we need to resolve our past, put it behind us. Then we'll be able to receive the good things that God wants to pour into our laps. So, what's the outworking of this? We need to take time to think of everyone who's hurt, upset, harmed, badly treated us, offended us, let us down. And we need to speak out our forgiveness of them before God and before the enemy. And we need to keep speaking it out until it no longer affects us. And when you get to the point when you can ask God to do them good and to bless them, to give them success, then you know you've truly forgiven them. Next slide. The only way is up. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's long been my habit to forgive people and to keep on forgiving people. I could tell you stories about how things have gone in my life, but we haven't got time for that. But I keep forgiving them, the same person maybe every day for a while, maybe every week for a while, maybe every month for a while, until eventually I can say, God, will you bless them? Will you give them favor? Will you make them succeed in all that they do? Will you bless their family and their finances and their health? And when I can do that, I know I've truly forgiven them. Because I don't want to have baggage. I don't want to have anything in my heart towards somebody else that's holding me back. I want to be free of all that stuff because I want to press on towards the call for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I received this word in June. First thing I did, I sat down and I started speaking out forgiveness. Forgiveness for my wife. My mother-in-law, she lives with us, so there's lots to forgive there. Shouldn't make mother-in-law jokes, should you? Friends, church leaders, bosses at work. I forgave myself because I often let myself down. And we often forget to forgive ourselves. I forgave God. What's God done wrong? Nothing. But what I think God might have done wrong is different, isn't it? Because it isn't about what's necessarily happened to you. It's about how it's affected you. The next one. The only way is up. Faith follows truth, not feelings. Now, you might think, I don't think I could say I forgive that person. The thing is, the truth is the truth. Forgive and you will be forgiven. But we might not feel like it. Faith follows truth, not feelings. It isn't about how you feel. You can choose to forgive even through gritted teeth. I forgive that person. And you keep on saying, I forgive that person, until it becomes, I forgive that person, until it becomes, I forgive that person. It's taking a step of faith. And once you've taken that step, the rest follows. The feelings will follow. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. That's fine. You don't have to do anything about it today. We will have a response time at the end when people can do this, but if you really feel you can't do it, that's fine. But don't put it aside and forget about it. Make sure at some point you come back to it and you go through the process of forgiving. Next slide. Because if you drop the ballast, the balloon goes higher. The more baggage you can get rid of, the higher you go. You might have only a few people to forgive. Jettison them and you'll rise. I know a guy who had over 100 people on his list of people to forgive. He didn't think he had any and then started thinking about it and it just grew and grew and grew and grew. There may be loads, there might be few, it doesn't matter. Let's get rid of them. Let's not be held back by anything. And then it's all about who. Next slide. Parents, family, partners, peers, colleagues, leaders, bosses, the church, yourself, God. I've just listed plenty of people there. You might think of others. What we're going to do is take some time to think, who do I need to forgive? And then I've said there quietly to yourself, but out loud. So in other words, try and find some space where nobody's near enough. And it doesn't matter if you whisper it, but it needs to be out loud because the devil can't hear it if it's in your head. God can, but the devil can't. So it needs to be verbal, out loud. And you might need to go home and shout it later on. But let's make a start. Father, I forgive Fred for making me feel unwanted. I renounce my right to vengeance and trust it into your hands. I pray that you will bless Fred and make him fruitful in you. Just that simple prayer over each name that you think of can make such a difference. So this is what we're going to do now. We're going to take maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It might be for some that you haven't got through everybody. That's fine. We're just going to make a start. And you might need to have some homework and carry on at home. And it might be that you think, I'm just not quite ready. I could do with just talking about something to someone. Well, I'm going to be at the front, obviously. And it might be there's some people here who've already done this and feel like they've not got many to forgive or get through it quickly. And if you feel able, you could come out to the front so that people could talk to you if they feel the need for it. It might be you want someone to pray with you. Well, that's fine, we can pray with you. But we can't pray with you to forgive people because only you can do that. So that's got to be your part of it. And we just need to make a start, take a step, and see what God does. So let's take some time now. Just spread yourselves out wherever you can find a space. Take some time just to ask God, who do I need to forgive? And wait. And as a name pops into your head, then you can just run through that little prayer. It doesn't have to be that prayer. There's nothing magical about that. You could make up your own version of it, whatever you feel appropriate. But it's important to say their name. If you can't remember their name, describe them or the situation. It's important to say how it made you feel. Do I need to cover anything else or is that okay? Everybody know what they're doing? Okay? If you've got some paper, you might want to write a huge list and then go through them one at a time, but otherwise you can do it as the names come. Just say the little prayer. So find some space. And have a listen, and then start forgiving. Okay, let's bring that to the close. Can I have the last slide up? This is the point. We've talked about being free. We've sung about being free. This is what it's about. Jesus setting us free to be the people we were created to be. Getting rid of the stuff that gets in the way. And all we've done is made a start. It might be you found a few names, you forgave a few people, but you'll find others popping up. So be prepared to do this again. If you had a longer list, you might need to go over it again. If those are people who significantly hurt you, you might need to forgive them again and again and again, just as I did, until you feel you're truly free of it. So we've made a start. It's up to you to continue it. Let me just pray to bring that to a close, and we'll sing Amazing Grace to finish with, just to remind us how much we've been forgiven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your love. Lord, we thank you for all we sang about. You are an amazing God who would give his life for us, and we don't deserve it. Lord, we pray that you will help us to forgive as we are forgiven, to recognize the incredible, unpayable debt that you paid on our behalf when you died on the cross, and to recognize that you have welcomed us into your family, made us clean, acceptable, perfect, pure and holy in your sight because of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have put your treasure in these jars of clay. And we pray that you will enable us to be your ambassadors as we go out into the world, your witnesses, to show others what a good, great, glorious God you are, that we might help others to find you for themselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. A last brief word from Holly.
Just very quickly, I try and go through this kind of process fairly regularly, because I don't know about you, but people build up in my life and there are always people to forgive. Or maybe I'm just particularly unkind and unforgiving. But actually, for me, the way I seal the process is actually I say to God, I am sorry for holding on to unforgiveness. And I ask his forgiveness for holding on to that. Because actually, he tells us not to. So it's a sin. So I ask his forgiveness, and then I receive his forgiveness. And I do that out loud. And it kind of seals the whole process for me. So that's something you might want to do.